Good to be back. Feels like coming home to be here to preach again, so thanks for having me. And it's a privilege to be able to open God's Word with you today. Please pray with me as we come to explore God's Word. Our living God and speaking God, we thank you that as we come to this passage now, we can come expectantly, looking forward to hearing the voice of our loving Father of compassion and comfort. Lord, may you do that work in us today by your Spirit, that you will do a work of giving us compassion and comfort as we need it according to our situation. And Lord, please, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A while back, my older sister applied for a permanent job at the school that she'd been doing casual work at for a while. She loved this school. She was really hoping to get this job, but she didn't get it. And when she got the news, she wrote on Facebook, "Rejected for a job, first time ever. Today is not the best day. In fact, it is a little bit of a low." That was an understatement. My sister was pretty gutted. I was sad that my sister was sad, but I think what I found saddest about the whole situation was the responses that her friends posted to this comment to try and comfort her. Listen to some of the replies that they commented back for comfort. "So sorry, next time for sure. Cheer up, it'll get better, I'm sure. Bad luck, mate. Such a shame, the perfect job will come along. Chin up, champ, you never know what's around the corner." And on it went. Now, we could join in too, couldn't we? We know lots more pleasantries than that. We could all have a crack. "If at first you don't succeed, try and try again. Every cloud has a silver lining. You'll be right, it'll happen eventually. At least you've got your health." But then, ironically, to top the whole discouraging experience off, my niece just happened to be walking around the house that day. My day, my sister was upset, and she was singing "Que Sera Sera," which is great. Just about the perfect summary of all the Facebook comments that she'd received that way. "Que Sera Sera" just means whatever will be, will be. My friends, if you've ever been through a time of trouble, if you've actually suffered in any significant way, you'll know that these kind of comments really are actually of no comfort at all in your hard times. "Que Sera Sera" just doesn't cut it when you've just missed out on getting your dream job, when you're waiting for high-risk surgery, when you've suffered abuse, when you've just lost a baby, when your spouse gets dementia, when you're rejected and discarded by someone you love, when you're being harassed at work. It's in trouble like that that we need real comfort. And in our passage today, we see that even at these times, we do have a source of such comfort. The Apostle Paul reminds us that God is our truest source of comfort in our times of trouble. And more than that, he reminds us that God comforts us in our trouble so that we can comfort others in their trouble too. You've got an outline there that I hope you'll find helpful as we track through the passage today. But keep your Bible open at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 as we explore what is really a very, very comforting passage together tonight. Now, this is the beginning of Paul's letter that he's writing to a church that he's planted some time earlier, some years earlier. It kicks off with a really comforting start, despite what's become quite a strained relationship between Paul and the Corinthians. From this letter alone, we can see that there's a fair bit of tension between Paul and this church that he's planted, largely due to them questioning his validity as a Christian leader, due to the amount of trouble and suffering that he seems to go through that plagues him wherever he goes. And though Paul, later in this letter, will tackle their relationship breakdown in detail, in this opening greeting, he reminds them that he, Paul, is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. The trouble and suffering that he has experienced don't change the fact that it's by God's will that he's been sent by Christ Jesus himself to be his messenger and his representative in Corinth. And so while Paul writes now a really difficult letter to defend his ministry and re-establish his relationship with them, despite all this trouble, he begins with this really comforting greeting, doesn't he? "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." It's not out to attack them or to get revenge on them. This letter is going to be saturated with the grace and the peace of the gospel as Paul encourages the Corinthians and Christians far and wide in every generation to follow his example in standing firm with Jesus through all the troubles that we will inevitably face in this life. And it's not difficult to see that trouble and suffering are going to be a significant theme in this letter, because straight after this comforting greeting, Paul mentions words like trouble and suffering and distress and hardship again and again, just in these first 11 verses that we've read. Trouble is clearly a significant issue on his mind. But you might have noticed that as we read through this passage, Paul uses another word even more than he uses the word trouble. The God of all comfort, who comforts us so we can comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received. You get that? Trouble and comfort. Now, in an age of empty Facebook platitudes, this is going to be a really important passage for us today, as Paul has clearly got something to say about an alternative source of comfort in our times of trouble. In fact, it's the source of all comfort in all trouble, and that's just what he points us to from the start of verse 3, isn't it? He launches into this letter by rejoicing, not in some comforting slogan from a Hallmark card. He rejoices in his God. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." God is the source of the comfort he wants us to know when we are in times of trouble. Specifically, he wants us to know God in our times of trouble as the Father of compassion, the originator of kindness, the source of mercy, the fount of empathy and genuine care, the one who is moved by our distress, the one who is moved to draw near to us, not away from us, moved to help us, not ignore us, moved to comfort us, for he's not only the Father of compassion, he's the God of all comfort. He's the one who's with us in the thick and thin of our sorrow, to comfort and encourage us. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can say with David, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And there's no trouble we could ever face that God will be unable to comfort us in, is there? Paul reminds us he's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Friends, this is our God. And Paul's not just reciting something here from his devotion that he had in Psalm 23 that morning. Paul's speaking from first-hand experience. He knows what it is to suffer. He's a man who is well and truly familiar with trouble. Just take a look down at verses 8 and 9 where he talks about some of his most recent troubles. He says, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death." He's not being specific about the precise nature of his troubles here, but we get the idea that they're extremely difficult, don't we? Over in chapter 11, he's going to talk more about it. We see why when he describes just some of his troubles in more detail. Over in chapter 11, he says, "Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers," and on he goes. In short, I think it's safe to say Paul was a man who was well familiar with troubles. And trouble that caused him great pressure, he says. Trouble that took him far beyond his ability to endure, he says, to the point that he despaired even of his life. He thought he was going to die. And so it comes with some credibility when this same guy says, "Our God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." I'm inclined to believe him. Which means in any trouble we could ever go through, whether it be from pressure, pain, stress, fatigue, disability, depression, illness, burnout, rejection, anxiety, depression, hurt, loneliness, harassment. In all of those times, our God is the God who comforts us in all our troubles. Now, perhaps your question is an obvious question like mine, is that what does God's comfort actually look like? How do we receive God's comfort? After all, God doesn't exactly just pop a nice card in the mail. He doesn't comment on your Facebook page. Paul has clearly experienced it. It's the basis for his praise of God here. But how does it come? How has God comforted Paul? Well, again, Paul tells us how in this very letter. And as he does, what becomes clear is that he's received God's comfort in his times of trouble in three key ways, isn't it? Firstly, Paul shares that God's actively provided comfort for him at times by delivering him from troubles. That's certainly comforting. Look at how he describes in verse 10. He says, "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." And so, first and foremost, God comforted Paul by showing him he's the God who can and who does and who will continue to deliver him from his times of trouble. And the greatest evidence of the fact that God has indeed done this for Paul is that despite the fact that Paul has been whipped and beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and betrayed and rejected, even to the point of despairing of life, he's still alive, isn't he? He's still here to tell the story. He should have been destroyed by all of his troubles, but he wasn't. God has graciously granted him favour in answer to many prayers, as he says in verse 11, prayers of himself and others, and has so comforted him by delivering him from his troubles. Now, I'm sure many of us sitting here could say the same thing, right? We're here today when we shouldn't be. We're here today and troubles that we've experienced are things of the past. God has delivered us through times of trouble, and that's comforting to remember. But God didn't always deliver Paul from trouble, did he? At other times, he provided Paul comfort by sustaining him through his trouble. In fact, over in chapter 12 of this letter, Paul will go on to speak about one particular trouble that he describes as being like a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan that's causing him constant torment. And there he says three times he begged God to take this trouble away, that God might comfort him by delivering him from his trouble. But God didn't. The thorn remained, his suffering continued, yet even so, in the midst of all of this, Paul testifies that God comforted him through his trouble. God was with him in the valley of the shadow of death, and his rod and his staff comfort him even there. And because he knows God's comforting presence is with him through his troubles, he can testify in verse 4 and again in verse 8 that the result of this is that we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. So that's verse 8 of chapter 4. The God of all comfort is constantly providing Paul with strength to sustain him even through his times of trouble, troubles that would otherwise destroy him. And now, having repeatedly experienced this comfort from God through many times of trouble, Paul can look back on these times and say in verse 9, "This happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." His experience of comfort through trouble taught Paul that God's grace really is sufficient to sustain him through times of trouble, and that his power really is proved perfect in weakness. Friends, it's as we experience God's comfort in the fire of the furnace and in the depth of our despair and in our strength-sapping sorrow that we learn we really can rely on God, the God of all comfort, to sustain us through whatever trouble we may face in the future. And that is comforting. And so Paul's received comfort from God from times of trouble, through times of trouble at other times, but he goes further by assuring us of how God comforted him with hope beyond all of his troubles too, doesn't he? as Paul alluded to at the end of verse 9, our God is the one who raises the dead. Again in verse 10, he speaks with his confidence in God, saying, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. And in those statements, Paul's alluding to the fact that the day is coming when God will bring all those who trust in Jesus to a place beyond the reach of all trouble, a place where we'll be beyond the reach of death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. We will have left it behind us. Over in chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul explains how this hope beyond all trouble provided him great comfort in his times of trouble. He says there, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You see, Paul's times of trouble served as opportunities for God to comfort him with the hope of the gospel, the hope of eternal glory beyond the reach of all trouble, and that too was comforting. Friends, that's how Paul received comfort from God. God delivered him from his trouble, sustained him through his trouble, assured him of hope beyond his trouble. But finally, the rest of this passage, we see that God is worthy of our praise, not only because of his comfort in our times of trouble, but because of the way he continues to use this experience of his comfort to comfort others in their trouble too. So if you're anything like me, when you're going through times of suffering, it's not uncommon to ask, why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing me to experience this distress? Why isn't God saving me from this trouble? But while those questions tend to fade away as we experience God's refreshing comfort, other questions then kind of come to mind. Even after we've been comforted, we might ask, well, now what? What am I meant to do with that experience of suffering that I've been through? What good can come out of the comfort that God gave me through my relationship breakdown or my battle with infertility or that time of unemployment or this chronic illness? What was the purpose of my suffering? Well, Paul reminds us here that God never wastes our time of hardships. Yes, God comforts us in our trouble simply because he's the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. That's just what he does. It's good for us to learn that we can rely and rest on the refreshing comfort God gives us even in our darkest days. But God has also arranged things so that he might use our experience of his comfort in suffering to bring comfort to someone else in their suffering too. Paul says in verse 4, God comforts us in all our troubles. Why? For what purpose? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Now, what Paul's got in mind here, I think, is a little bit like a champagne fountain. Have you ever seen a champagne fountain at a wedding or on TV? It's when there's a pile of champagne glasses getting smaller and smaller until there's one on the top. And as the top one fills up to overflowing, it fills the others up under it. They then overflow and fill up to others under it, and so on and so on. God's comfort is a bit like a champagne fountain. It flows from him to us in our times of trouble, and then it's meant to overflow from us to others to comfort them in their times of trouble as well, a champagne fountain. But please note here, Paul is not just giving us permission to say or do whatever pops into our heads to someone in trouble just because we've experienced times of trouble ourselves. That's not what he's saying. When my mum had just lost her first baby, someone came to comfort her and said, I know how you feel. My dog just lost her puppies. Now, needless to say, my mum didn't find that particularly comforting. See, it's not comforting to say to someone who is suffering, your situation is terrible, but at least it's not as bad as what happened to me. Or, if you want to know how to get through this, you just have to do what I did. Or you just have to keep praying and God will eventually give you what you want, like he did for me. No. It's not the fact that we've suffered in a similar way to someone else that makes everything we say suddenly gold and comforting. Because notice too that Paul doesn't say that we have to experience the exact same kind of trouble as someone else before we can offer them any comfort in their trouble. Look again at what Paul does say in verse 4. God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You see, we don't have to have experienced exactly the same kind of trouble that someone else has before we can offer them some comfort in their trouble. Because what we have experienced is the comfort of exactly the same God who was there to comfort us in our time of trouble. And friends, that is the best thing we have to offer someone in their time of distress. We just need to think about how God comforted us in our trouble and sensitively share it with someone else. And we can point them back to the God who is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort when they're tempted to turn away from him and to question his goodness and love in their suffering. We can tell them about the God who remained with us and sustained us through our trouble and held us fast even when we thought our strength had failed. We can point them to the God who does sometimes deliver us from trouble now, but who will certainly deliver us to eternal glory beyond the reach of all our troubles as we cling to Jesus. And that is comforting. As I've struggled with various struggles over the years, there have certainly been times when, like Paul, I felt like the hardships I was facing were beyond my natural ability to endure. But at those times, I've also experienced the enormous comfort of brothers and sisters in Christ who have come alongside me, especially those who haven't tried to comfort me and assure me of things that God hasn't promised, but those who have lamented with me in my pain, those who have pointed me back to my Father of compassion and comfort, and the kind of comfort that he has promised, comfort that they themselves have experienced in their own times of trouble, and that's comforting. Brothers and sisters, I hope you've experienced that too in your times of trouble. God comforting you in times of trouble through fellow sufferers who have gently come alongside you and thoughtfully and sensitively shared with you how they've experienced God's tender compassion and deep comfort in the midst of their trouble. Because that's comforting, isn't it? And that's God's purpose for our comfort in times of trouble. In fact, Paul goes on to give an example of what that's worked, how it's worked out in his relationship with them in verses 5 and 6. Specifically, when it came to the suffering he's experienced as he served Jesus, he says in verse 5, "For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Though Paul knew much suffering in his life that flowed over from Jesus to him as he followed and served Jesus in a world that is hostile to Jesus, he also knew that it was through Jesus that God's comfort overflowed even more. Jesus, who took on the frailty of human flesh and suffered far more than Paul had, was the one who remained with Paul and sustained him through his suffering and was the one who gave Paul the assurance of eternal hope beyond his suffering too. And now, in verse 6, Paul describes how both his suffering with Jesus and his comfort from Jesus served to overflow to comfort the Corinthians in the trouble that they face as Jesus' followers too. He says, if we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. See, Paul is confident that God will use both the distress he faced while preaching the gospel of Christ and the comfort he'd received from Christ to comfort the Corinthians and help them to stand firm with Jesus in the midst of their suffering too. God's comfort, like a champagne fountain, flows through Jesus to Paul, from Paul to others, and so on it goes. And Paul's confident that God will continue to do just that. Look at what he says in verse 7. "Our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." He's confident of this because this is God's design. God comforts us in our trouble so we can comfort others in their trouble. Friends, when we suffer, the best comfort the world has to offer us is que sera, sera. Empty promises and wishful thinking that are no comfort at all. But this passage tells us to see that we have a far greater source of comfort than that. God is our source of all comfort in all the troubles we will ever face. And sometimes he comforts us by delivering us from our troubles and the exciting days. Other times he comforts us by sustaining us through our troubles. And best of all, he will always be certain to comfort us by assuring us of eternal life in Jesus beyond our troubles. And when he does, we can be as confident as Paul is in verse 7 that he will use the comfort he's given us in our trouble to comfort others too. So, friends, I think this passage has two really key implications for us today. The first is that it encourages us to keep turning to God for comfort in our times of trouble. Sadly, all too often when we're in trouble, and I do include myself in this, my natural tendency is to turn away from God to seek comfort elsewhere. We might think the fact that we're suffering means that God isn't actually compassionate or comforting. And so we turn towards other things to comfort us. We turn to friends or family or Facebook or food. We turn to watching more or working harder. We turn to distraction or recreation. Only find that none of these things actually give us the comfort that we need. They can't deliver us from trouble. They can't sustain us through trouble. They can't give us hope beyond all trouble. And while we desperately cling to things that can't comfort us, we miss out on the comfort that can only be found by turning to our Father of compassion, the God who delights to give us comfort to overflowing in all of our troubles. So friends, firstly, I hope that we might hear this passage as an encouragement to keep turning to God for comfort in our times of sorrow, that all of us might fling ourselves again into the arms of our compassionate Father and know the joy of his comfort from and through and beyond our troubles. And secondly, following on from that, I hope this passage might encourage us to keep turning our trouble into comfort from God to others too. Now again, I don't think this is a natural tendency for us. We're more inclined to keep to ourselves, aren't we, in times of suffering and avoid being vulnerable to others in our times of trouble. And we're inclined to shrink back from others in their times of trouble, keeping their suffering at an arm's length because it's difficult and awkward. And we post a caring emoji on Facebook and we add the comment, chin up champ, you never know what's around the corner, but we resist moving towards people in their times of trouble because it's hard. But the sad result of us not letting others into our times of suffering is that we end up struggling alone. We miss out on the comfort that could be ours from sharing with others. The comfort of their prayers offered for us, their shared experience with us. And the sad result of us not moving towards others in their time of trouble is that we end up benefiting alone from the comfort that God has lavished on us in our times of trouble, instead of being a champagne fountain and God's comfort overflowing from us to others. It simply stops with us and is no benefit to anyone. But as these opening words in 2 Corinthians have reminded us, we need to keep working at having the kind of relationships in our church in which we can both be vulnerable to admit our troubles so that others can comfort us, and relationships in which we can step towards others in their times of sorrow so that we can comfort them with the comfort that we have received from God. Because our praiseworthy Father of compassion, our God of comfort, has designed things for that reason. He comforts us in all our troubles so that through us he might comfort others in their troubles too. Let me pray that that might be true for us. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, today many of us are experiencing times of trouble. Or if we're not, we certainly know those days from times past. And Lord, we praise you for these words that remind us that you are the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And we long, like Paul, to experience that of you more and more. And we thank you that you give us the great comfort by sometimes delivering us from trouble, always sustaining us through trouble, and best of all, giving us a great comfort of life beyond all trouble. And so, Lord, we pray that we might experience that more and more when we are suffering and facing trouble. We won't run from you, but we'll run to you. And Lord, in those times, that you might then use us to share the comfort that we've received with others, that we'll receive that benefit from others too, but that you might draw us to each other in our times of hardship, that we could be thoughtful to spur one another on and point them back to you, that they might experience genuine and deep and lasting comfort that will sustain us through this life of suffering until we know a life of no more suffering ever again. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus who has walked that path before us to assure us of peace beyond suffering, and help us to cling to him through these times for the deepest sort of source of comfort of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, before we come to share communion, we're going to sing the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," one that reminds us of the great hope we have.